So Devon and Cornwall Police has a high density of children's homes, and these can be challenging and difficult environments, and often when police are called, it will be for violence or damage. And again, the resulting decisions you have to make as gatekeepers, as evidence review officers, will be under challenging circumstances. There is a national protocol that exists between police and other agencies to reduce the criminalisation of looked after children and care leavers. The guidance does revolve around those children who are in and offending in those environments, but when you come across a child that has perhaps offended external to the home but is still looked after, the guidance is also a good source of information on how you might consider them, their circumstances when reaching your decisions. Children and young people who live in children's homes are at a high risk of offending, mainly because many looked after children are between 14 and 17 years old, which is regarded as a peak offending age. They are potentially likely to be living with other young people, some who have maybe been remanded to local authority accommodation and therefore susceptible to group offending behaviour. They might be far from home, so may lack support from friends and family. And the challenging behaviour we spoke about, need to look through that and consider that a lot of the time children are in these environments because they come from abusive, neglect-rich backgrounds. They are vulnerable individuals and must be treated as such. There may be diagnosed mental health challenges for these children, attention deficit and hyperactivity disorder, oppositional defiant disorder, and there may be links to that in terms of their offending behaviour. Their family experience, the breakdown of foster placements, frequent moves, and of course just living in that challenging environment where potentially there can be bullying or peer group pressure, all adds up to the picture that you must consider when making your decisions. Balance, again, is key. We discussed earlier on, this is centred around the child, but I appreciate you will also have the needs of the victim, the seriousness of the offending. And again, using the gatekeeping model, looking at the gravity matrix, and making sure you record clear rationales for your decision will help you come to the right choice. There are those basic tenants which we spoke about in terms of the case law that exist. Diversions and diversionary activity must be a primary consideration given we know it has positive effect on children and their future outcomes and can reduce demand, prevent crime, protect the vulnerable. Where that's not possible, as I've already mentioned, consider the full circumstance of the child and make sure you make a decent, reasonable, robust public interest decision. In terms of the decision to prosecute, you'll be aware of the 10-point checklist. So this 10-point checklist applies to all voluntary arrangements, foster placements and secure training centres and is an overview of the factors that should be considered when making a gatekeeping and evidence review decision. Factors such as disciplinary, the behaviour policy of the children's home. Why have the police been involved? And is it as agreed in that aforementioned behaviour policy? Are there any informal or disciplinary actions already taken by the home with regard to what has happened? That includes similar behaviour or in any instance in the youth's life that could have affected their behaviour. Any history potentially between the youth and the victim, or apology or reparation made by the youth. So again, that holistic view, looking at the records and the disciplinary actions and notes already taken. Item 4 on the list, as already mentioned, is considering if any apology or reparation has been made. Taking into account the victim's views, including their willingness to attend court and give evidence, and or participate, importantly, of course, in a restorative justice or other diversionary programme. Do we have the views of the social workers, the counsellor, the CAMS worker, if assigned? And what will be the effect of the criminal justice intervention on the youth, especially where the youth suffers from an illness or a disorder? Remember previously we spoke about the director's guidance, which said you must consider the proportionality of the outcome that might be achieved using a criminal justice process versus the effect that's going to have on the child and the seriousness of the offending. What's the care plan for the looked after child? Information about the local authority's assessment of their needs and how the placement provided by the home is intended to address those needs. The local authority should be able to provide this information, and it should be an integral part of the care plan for that child. Number 8 on the list talks again previously about the previous incidents and behaviour. Item 9 is information about the incident from the looked after child. So, for example, if there has been an informal interview at the home, making sure we capture that evidence. And the last is, are there any aggravating or mitigating factors? You should consider all of those factors when deciding on the appropriate outcome, and you should clearly record and show those factors and show your thinking when determining whether the public interest test is satisfied.